Okay, today's daf is Nida Daf Chaf Tes. We are holding on Daf Chaf Chesam and Beis. We are 5 lines from the end of the page. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. And we once again wish him a mazel tov on the new baby girl. We are holding again 5 lines from the bottom of the page. Today, first thing we're going to do is finish up the discussion we were having yesterday about the three different contexts in which the Torah uses the terms Zachar and Nekeva and what it means in each context. Both what we learned from it, we already discussed as far as Tumas Mikdash and as far as Truma. Today we're going to discuss as far as Arachin are concerned. And when it comes to the fact that the Torah used the word Zachar and the word Nekeva in the Parsha of Arachin, so what exactly does that tell us? Then we're going to get into a discussion of how much of a baby has to come out in order for it to be considered a birth. And there are multiple factors that go into it, whether it is Mechutach, meaning whether it's cut up into pieces or it's in a single whole unit, whether it is Mesuras, which means whether it's coming out head first or feet first, whether it is Chai or a Nefel, whether it's alive or not. So with all of these factors, we're going to have a very cheshbin discussion of figuring out when the baby is considered when the baby is considered to be born, and it's going to be machlokas, several machlokas that are going to come into the picture. So that's a pretty cheshbin discussion. Then the Mishnah and Amud Aleph is going to talk about what if a woman is mapil, but any of das mahipila. She doesn't know if it's a boy, it's a girl. She doesn't know if it was even an Eiffel at all. In the second half of the mission, maybe it was a Ruach, and the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is going to comment that Rov Nashim Vlad Ma'alya Yaldan, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is going to comment in the Gemara, most women, when they give birth, it's not a Ruach, it's a Vlad Ma'alya. So the Gemara is going to challenge Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi 3 times, but the third challenge is going to be about a case of a woman who shows up, she left a while ago pregnant, sometime between then and now, a baby was born. You ask her, when was the baby, where was the baby, what baby, she has no idea, doesn't know anything. So how do we get her to be Tahora, considering the possibilities of a Zachar, of a Nekeva at any time? So you may Tuma, you may Tara, a Ziva. So how do we get her to become Tahora? So that's a very, very cheshbin. This daf in general is one of the most, like, if you're into like cheshbinning out and thinking about all the factors and how it all works out, so this daf is for you. If you're not, you got to grin and bear it. And so that's the whole discussion. That will go all the way till the Mishnah, pretty much on the next daf, on Lamed Amud Aleph. So let's begin Chaf Tes on Beis, 5 lines from the bottom of the page. So it says Mar v'kal heicha d'chsiv mizachar ad nekeva lemutei tumtum v'androgynous udasa. Do you mean to tell me that wherever the Torah says mizachar ad nekeva, it's coming to exclude a tumtum v'androgynous, because a tumtum v'androgynous can neither be defined as a zachar nor in a keva? I v'ha gabe arachin v'tanya ha-zachar v'lo tumtum v'androgynous. By arachin d'chsiv ha-zachar v'tanya ha-zachar v'lo tumtum v'androgynous. By arachin, where a person says erki alai or erich ploni alai, where he has to pay what the Torah prescribes, a certain set amount based on gender and age that the Torah prescribes, where the pasuk says ha-zachar, it says ish ki yafli neder berkecha nefashos la-shem v'yarkecha ha-zachar mi-ben esrim shana v'ad-ben shishim shana, and he has to pay shekel chamishim shekel kesef, and v'im nekeva he, it says then it's shloshim shekel, and the Brisa tells us ha-zachar, it says, it doesn't say zachar, it says ha-zachar. So we learned that it has to be dafka zachar v'lo tumtum androgynous. But someone who says the erich of a tumtum androgynous alai does not pay anything. So yachal, I might think lo yehei be'erich ish, that he shouldn't have a din of the erich of a zachar. Aval yehei be'erich isha. But if you say that I'm going to give the erich of a tumtum androgynous, maybe you have to pay the amount designated to pay for a woman. So tamal omar ha-zachar v'im nekeva. The extra word im is zachar v'adai nekeva v'adais. The hey in ha-zachar, the im before nekeva, tells me that in each of those situations, it has to be a situation of v'adai, v'lo tumtum v'androgynous, and therefore tumtum v'androgynous, there's no erichin at all. So again, how does this prove what we're trying to prove? We're trying to prove that wherever it says zachar and nekeva, it's not l'mutei tumtum v'androgynous. And over here, it is l'mutei we just showed that it is the mutei tumtum androgynous. So it says Gemara one more step. Taima d'chsiv ha-zachar v'im nekeva. Hamizachar Nekeva Lamimayit. If it just would have used the word Zachar and Nekeva, we would not have excluded Tumtum Androgynous. We need something extra together with Zachar and together with Nekeva in order to be able to be Mimayit Tumtum Androgynous. So that's how we bring a Raya that not every time it says Zachar and Nekeva does it come to be Mimayit Tumtum Androgynous. You need something more to be Mimayit Tumtum Androgynous. So answers Gemara, even without anything extra in the Pasuk, we could be Mimayit Tumtum Androgynous just from the word Zachar and Nekeva. By Arachin, we needed extra words. We needed the extra words in the Pasuk to tell me that each one has its own Erech in the Pasuk. And since the Pasuk itself is not extra, the Torah had to add HaZachar and the Im Nekeva to be my Tumtum Androgynous. Meaning, normally, when the Torah uses Zachar and Nekeva, that's fine. We could already be my Tumtum Androgynous because normally there's nothing compelling the Torah to use the words Zachar and Nekeva. It could just say people. It could say Ish, Adam, whatever. It could say people. But therefore, when it uses Zachar and Nekeva, it's coming to be Mimayit Tumtum Androgynous. But over here, it had to use the word Zachar and Nekeva just for the basic halacha was trying to teach that there's a different Erech for a Zachar than there is for a Nekeva. So therefore, in order to have that extra level of limud, that you want to be Mimayit Tumtum Androgynous, you need an extra word. You need the hey, you need the im in order to be Mimayit Tumtum Androgynous, but specifically in this context. Okay, that's the end of the discussion of Tumtum Androgynous and what we do with the word Zachar and Nekeva in those three different contexts. Now we move on to the next line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Yatzah Mechutach or Mesuras, if the baby came out in pieces or it came out feet first. So the Mishnah had said that Misha Yatzah Rubo, it's Kiyalud. When the majority of the baby emerges, that's when it's considered to be born. But if it comes out Kedarko, then Rov Rosho. All you need is the majority of the head to emerge in order for the baby to be born. And we said, what is Rov Rosho? Rov Rosho, the Mishnah said, is Padachto. So the Gemara is going to discuss that in more detail as well. But first we discuss what exactly is the situation where it's coming out Mechutach, that only when it's Rubo it's considered Nolad. So Amar Blazer Afilu Aroshi Mahen. That means that if it's coming out Mechutach, even if the head came out, but the majority of the baby has not yet come out, it's not yet Nolad. The head only matters when the baby's intact. But if the baby's coming out mechutach, the head is not going to be any different than any of the other limbs, according to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Shanu El She'en Haroshi Mahen. Av L'Roshi Mahen Harosh Poter. Maybe the Girsa that if the Rosh is with them, then the Rosh is going to be considered. The emergence of the Rosh is going to make it that it's nolad. So that's Machlokas Amarayim. Rabbi Elazar holds that the Rosh only matters if the baby's alive, if the baby's intact rather. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the Rosh matters even if the baby is mechutach, even if it's not intact, it's cut up into different pieces. So says Gemara, what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas? Lema b'dishmuel kabifulgi. Damar Shmuel, ein Rosh poter b'nefeilim. Maybe they're arguing about whether they agree with Shmuel, that Shmuel holds, if let's say a woman has twins inside of her, one of them is a nefel, that there was lo nigmar tzuraso. So if the nefel sticks out its head first from the rechem, and then jumps back in, and then the second Vlad is born, the Yetzias HaRosh of the Nefel is not considered a Leda, does not pater the next one from Dine Bechora, meaning the second one is going to be a Bechor. The Nefel stuck his head out, but the second one is going to be a Bechor. So you see that Rabbi Elazar holds that a Mechutach Yetzias HaRosho is not considered a Nolad, holds like Shmuel, whereas Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Shmuel and holds that once its Rosh is out, it is considered a Nolad, and therefore the second one will not be a Bechar. So says Gemara, no, the case of Shmuel was not Mechutach. Shmuel wasn't talking about a cut-up baby. Shmuel was talking about a baby that was intact. So nobody holds like Shmuel, meaning B'shalim T'kuliyam Lo Pligi. Neither Rabbi Lazar nor Rabbi Yochanan would say in Shmuel's case that the second baby is a Bechar. Both of them would say, if the first baby was intact, even though it was dead, but it was intact, when the head emerges, that's a Leida, and therefore the second baby is not going to be a Bechar. Ki pligi b'mechutach, the whole machlokas Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yochanan is only if the baby is cut up into pieces. Demar savar b'shalim u'dekachashiv b'mechutach lo kachashiv, that Rabbi Elazar holds that it's dafka when the baby is intact, that's when the Rosh is considered something unique, and therefore it's considered like the whole body, and when the Rosh comes out, it's considered to be born. But by mechutach, the Rosh doesn't have any special status. And Rabbi Yochanan holds that even if it's cut up, it's also considered, the Rosh is still considered to be something different than the rest of the body, and therefore will define the Leda. Then we'll skip the Lishna Achrin in the parentheses. So that's the understanding of the Machlokas, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Some say this whole passage in the Gemara with this Machlokas, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan, as a separate Maimer having nothing to do with our Mishnah, that Amar Rabbi Lazar, Eina Rosh Kirov Evarim, that the Rosh of a Nefel is not considered like the majority of the limbs of the Nefel, and therefore, even though Rov Evarim is considered to be a birth, Rosh is not, Rosh alone is not considered to be a birth. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Harosh Kirov Evarim, and Rabbi Yochanan says that the Rosh has the same status as the majority of the Evarim, and just like the emergence of the majority of the Evarim is a birth, so is the Rosh. So since this is not connected to our Mishnah, it doesn't seem that they're arguing about Mechutach in this version of the, they're not talking about a cut up baby, they're talking about any baby, it sounds like. So the Kamithgi be the Shmuel. Now you could say they're arguing within Shmuel, because Shmuel was also talking about a Vlad that was Shalem, and baby number one, Nefel, stuck out its head, and then the next baby came out. So Shmuel said the second baby is a Bechor. So they're arguing about that exact issue, whether Shmuel is correct. But nothing to do with Mechutach. So now, the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said that Rosh is always going to be considered a Leda, right? Even if it's the baby, in the first version, even if the baby is Mechutach, just having the Rosh emerge is considered a Leda. So Tanan, Yatza Mechutach HaMasuras, Misha Yatza Rubo Hareu Kiyalud. If the baby comes out, either cut up, or backwards, meaning it comes out feet first, as soon as the majority of the baby emerges, it's considered to be yalud. So midkamar o mesuras mechlal de mechutach ketikno. From the fact that we said we gave two examples of an unusual birth, one where it's mechutach and the other where it's mesuras, sounds like the case of mechutach is the baby's coming out head first, right? So the case is the baby's coming out head first. Vekaamar mishiyatza Rubo harezu kiyalud, that it's cut up, it's in pieces, but it's coming out head first. And we said, when is the Leda considered to have happened? When the majority emerges, it's considered to be a Leda, not when the Rosh emerges. So Kasha the Rabbi Yochanan, that's a Kasha and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan held that even by Mechutach, the Rosh is what matters. The Rosh is going to have the same din as Rov HaGuf, and yet over here we say that you need Rubo. So Rabbi Yochanan will answer no. Amalach Rabbi Yochanan, Ema Yotza Mechutach. Misuras. The Tana doesn't mean to give two different cases where it either comes out mechutach head first or misuras and shalem. No, it means it comes out mechutach but also misuras, and that's where we say ad shiyetze rubo. But if the Rosh came out first, then of course the Tana would agree that just the emergence of the Rosh alone would be a leida. So says Gemara, yeah, how do you say that? Va o katani. It says mechutach o misuras. How do you change the words? The word o means that there are two different cases. So says the Gemara, Hachi Kamar. Now Rabbi Yochanan would respond like this: Yatza Mechutach O Shalem, Vizeh Vizeh Mesuras. It is giving two cases. Whether it's Mechutach or whether it's intact, if it's Mesuras, Mishiyatza Ruba Reza Kiyalud. Meaning it doesn't matter if the baby is intact or it's Mechutach, as long as it's coming out feet first, Rov is going to be the definition of birth when it comes out feet first. That's what it's coming. What the Brisa, what the Mishnah is coming to say. So Rav Papa explains, Rav Lazar and Rav Yochanan are actually arguing in a machlokas tanaim. How so? So I'm Rav Papa kitanai yotza mechutach. The Brisa tells us as follows: if a vlad comes out mechutach evarim evarim, or o mesoras, or it comes out feet first, Mishiyatza Rubo Hareu Kiyalud. Then when the majority of the baby emerges, that's when the birth is considered to have happened. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Mishiyatza Kitikno, that it's only if it comes out head first it's considered Nolad, but if the head has not yet come out, even if Rov Evarim have come out, it's not yet considered Nolad. So my Ka'amar, what does Rabbi Yossi mean to say? If it came out Shalem Derech Raglav, if it came out feet first, intact, and the majority came out, You mean to tell me that's not a leida? Is that that's what it sounds like he's saying, right? He says Rabbi Yossi Yomer Mishiyotza Ketikno, that only when it comes out head first do we say that the rosh coming out will be a leida. But if it comes out feet first, then even a rove is not a leida. How is that possible that a rove is not a leida when it comes out feet first? Some Rav Papa no hachi kamar. This is how we should learn the brisa. Yotza mechuta umisoras. If it comes out in pieces and it comes out feet first, mishiyatza rubo hareu ki yalud. So then when the majority emerges, that's when it's yalud, according to the Tanakama. Hakatikno, but if the vlad would come out in head first, so harosh poter, then the rosh would pater yitzias, the rosh would be considered a leida. Rabbi Yossi Omer, mishiyatza rubo katikno. When the baby is mechutach, then it's only considered to be a leida when the majority emerges, even if it came out head first. But if it comes out shalem, of course Rabbi Yossi is going to be moda that even if it comes out derech raglav, when the majority of it comes out, it's considered to be nolad. So Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing about this, that Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Yossi that a mechutach, even if just the rosh comes out, when the rosh comes out, it's still not considered to be nolad, because mechutach loses the rosh loses its special status once the baby is in pieces. And Rabbi Yochanan holds like the Tanakama that even b'mechutach, when the rosh comes out, it's considered to be that it is nolad. So that's the machlokas. This machlokas tanaim is exactly the machlokas amoraim that we had. So maskef Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid challenges Rav Papa. Mechlal debimisoras rubo nami lo pater. Wow, it sounds from Rabbi Yossi, the way Rav Papa is explaining it, that if the baby were mechutach and coming out feet first, then even rove would not be a leida. Hakaimel and rubo kikulo. But wait a second, don't we always paskin in kala tarakula rubo kikulo, that when you have rove of something, it's as if you have all of it? So over here also, when rove of the baby comes out, it should be kiyatso kulo, even if you didn't have all of it yet. So says Gemara, ella amar Rav Zvid hachi kamar. Here's how you have to really learn the brisa. Yatsu mechutach umisoras, if the vlad comes out cut up into pieces and also feet first, mishayatza rubo hareza kiyalud. So then the majority of the baby emerging, that's considered a leida because that's rubo kikulo. Hakatikno, but if the vlad would come out head first, even though it's cut up into pieces, harosh poter, the rosh coming out would pater, and that's considered nolad. That's how Rav Papa explained the Tanakama as well, and so on that Rabbi Yossi is cholik. Rabbi Yossi Omer mishiyatza kitikno l'chayim. When do we say that the rosh alone is considered leida? That's only if it comes out head first, intact, like regular living babies. But if it comes out mechutach, even if it comes out derech rosho, it's not considered to be nolad ad shiyatza rubo. If it comes out mechutach, I don't care that the head came out first, it's still not a leida until the majority comes out. So the machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi is the same machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Yossi that the rosh of a mechutach is not considered to be a leida, and Rabbi Yochanan holds like the Tanakama that even by a mechutach, mishiyatza rosho, that's considered to be a leida. Tanya Nami Yachim, we have a brisa that explains exactly the way Rav Zvid just explained. The yatsa mechutach mesoras, if it comes out mechutach and mesoras, it comes out cut up and it comes out feet first, mishiyatza rubo areza ki yalud. Then if the majority emerges, that's when the birth happens. Haketikno harosh poter, says the Tanakama, but if it comes out head first, even though it's mechutach, the head is a leida. Rabbi Yossi Yomer mishiyatza ketikno l'chayim, veizu ketikno l'chayim mishiyatza rov rosho. No, only when it's yatsa ketikno l'chayim is considered a leida, which means it comes out intact. It's not mechutach. What is ketikno l'chayim? When do we assume that something is considered that the rosh has emerged? When rov rosho has emerged. Okay, vezu rov rosho. Now the Gemara says, just how do we measure that? What's considered the majority of the head? So three possibilities. Rabbi Yossi Yomer mishiyetsu tzedav, that when the temples of the head come out. Abachanan mishum Rabbi Yeshua Omer mishiyetsu pedachto, when the forehead emerges. V'yesho mishiyiru karne rosho, when the bump in the back of the head emerges. That's when it's considered to be to be nolad. So three-way machlokas. The Bach writes that from the Rambam it sounds like that a Vlad Shalim is mitsuyasa rov padachto is considered yalud. So he passes like the Yesh Omrim. So you don't need rov rosho, just rov padachto. You need rov of the so that's all that would be required. Okay, so that is the discussion of at what point a baby is considered to be born. Now, new Mishnah. Hamapelas ve'enya du'a mahu. Let's say a woman had a miscarriage, but she doesn't know if it was a male or a female. And obviously, yujna afkamina, psukim in the Torah, that after a baby boy, 7 days of tumah, followed by 33 days of tara, baby girl, 14 days of tumah, followed by 66 days of tara. So what does she do? She doesn't know if it was a boy or a girl. Teshev lezachar, Ul in a keva. You have to take the chumras of both. Meaning, she gets 14 days of tumah, but her yumei tara, and 40 days after the leida. So she's only going to get 26 days of yumei tara. Ein yadua im vlad ha im lav. But let's say she has no idea if it was even a vlad to begin with or not. Maybe it was a ruach. Maybe it was neither male nor female. It was just a ruach. So it was a chemical pregnancy. So teshev lezachar ulinikeva ulinida. So then she has to be teshev lezachar ulinikeva ulinida, meaning she has to assume that any blood that comes out might also make her nida, because maybe she's not a yoledes at all. So she doesn't get yimei tohar at all, meaning she's going to have 2 weeks of yimei tuma, because even if she doesn't bleed, because you have to be choshish that she's yoledes nikeva, and she gets zero yimei tohar. So the obvious kasha is, then what's the teshev lezachar part? Meaning, there's no chumrah that the zachar adds. Normally what the zachar adds is he shortens the yimei tara, but this woman's not getting yimei tara because we're concerned that she's not a yoledes bichlal. So the Gemara is going to discuss that a little bit, what that's about. However, the Bartanura on the Mishnah just says that it means that at the end of 40 days, she's going to have to be tovelas because of tevila b'zman mitzvah. Meaning, in order for a woman to then to be able to eat truma, she does during the meitara, she can't do that yet. She's still going to need to be tovelas at the end of 40 days. So tevila b'zman mitzvah, just in case, that is, she does have yumeitara, she'll have to be tovel. So that's what it means. And that's what the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis writes as well. That's where the Bartanura got it from. And there's a discussion about that. The other kasha that people ask is that, wait a second, the second week, maybe she should be tahora, because there's a svek sveka lahakel. Maybe she didn't give birth at all, and therefore she's tahora because she didn't see any dam. And even if she was yalda, it could be that it was a zachar, and because of that, she would already be in the yamei tohar. But then that should therefore be svek sveka. So for whatever reason, we're not going to apply svek sveka over here, and we're not going to be matayr. So Tosos discusses this issue, right? Teshuv zachon lekeva lenida, says Tosos avgav davi svek sveka teshuv lenekeva di mitaheres la mitumas nekeva mishum svek sveka hachinami netarne imrasa belamedalid umem aleph misvek sveka v'lo nechosh zachar v'avi trekuli disasrna dadi. He says on the tail end, you're going to apply svek svekos where you're going to assume that it was a nekeva, and then you're going to have svek svekos that contradict each other. At the beginning, you're going to say a svek sveka that includes a suffix, oh, maybe it was a zachar, and therefore maybe she's now in yimei tohar. But on the tail end, on lamedalid and mem aleph, you're going to have a svek sveka that's going to have to assume nekeva, and you never want to have a situation of a svek sveka that's so sir each other. So okay, says the Gemara now. Amar b'shul b'levi, if a woman went through a river and she came into the river feeling pregnant, she came out feeling no longer pregnant. So she was mapil something in the river. So mevia carbon v'nechal. She brings a carbon of the yoledes, and the carbon gets eaten by kohanim, even though Ophos require Malika. Malika outside of the context of a carbon would be a nevela, so we're confident that this is actually a carbon, that she's actually a yoledes. Halachacha Rov Nashim, Vlad Na'alia Yaladan. Because we follow Rov Nashim, and Rov at the time, when a woman gives birth, it's to an actual Vlad. So, says Gemara, three challenges to Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Challenge number one, Tanan, our Mishnah. Ein yodua im vlad haya teshev lezachar l'nekeva ulanida. There were choshesh that maybe it was a ruach, and that's why she's teshev lenida Nida as well. And therefore, if she sees Dam after the Leda, she becomes a Nida. So Amai Teshuv Lenida, why should she assume that she might be a Nida? Le Mahalach HaRav Nashim, Rav Nashim, V'lad Ma'al Yaldan. But according to Yerub Shom Levi, that Rav Nashim have an actual Vlad, so she should definitely have Yimei Tuma and Yimei Tara. So Masnisin B'Shalom Huchzaka Ubra. Now, the Mishnah is talking about a case where she wasn't Huchzak as a pregnant woman, and therefore we have this suffix that maybe it was Hipila Ruach. Rabbi Shimon Levi was talking about where she knew that she was pregnant, where she was already muchzak to be pregnant. What does it mean she was already muchzak to be pregnant? So Rav Rishonim and Achronim understand it means what we call hukar ubra, that after 3 months of pregnancy, it's evident that she's pregnant. So that's what we call huchzak ubra. Some sofer is not sure. He says, no, maybe huchzak ubra is a little different than hukar ubra. Hukar ubra is to other people that she's already showing, so other people know that she's pregnant. Maybe huchzak ubra is that she's aware of her pregnancy. A woman herself will become aware of her pregnancy earlier on, right? Hukar ubra is dafka 3 months, so where there's a bump, and therefore other people will be able to see exactly how to measure that 3 months. I think we once discussed that's a discussion. It's not so clear how to measure the 3 months, because how do you know when exactly the baby was conceived? So okay, so that's an issue. But hukar ubra is maybe a different time. But bottom line is, Rabbi Shimon Levi only said that Rov Nashim Vlad Ma'alia when she was Huchzak Ubra. If she was not Huchzak Ubra, then in a chinami, it could be that it was Ruach Hipila. Okay, challenge number two. Tashema. We have a brisa. Behema sheyatza maleya. An animal went out to graze and was pregnant when it went out. Uba'a rekanis. But it returns back and it's not pregnant anymore. So haba'ach rav b'char misafik. The next baby that's born from that animal is a b'char misafik, because maybe just now the animal was ruach hipila and it was not an actual leda. Amai halachach rav b'emos rav b'emos v'lad ma'alya yiladan. But what happened to Rabbi Shimon Levi's rov? That rov at the time, it's a v'lad ma'alya v'hai pashotu, and therefore the v'lad that comes later should be a pashotu. Should not be a bechor. So Amar Ravina, Mishum Dika Lameimer, Rov Beimos Yoldos Davra Poter Mi Bechora, Umiutan Yoldos Davra Sheino Poter Mi Bechora. You're right. Rov at the time of Vlad Ma'alia, but every once in a while there is the miut that is not a Vlad Ma'alia. Kola Yoldos Metanfos. But here's another thing that we know, that most all behemos, when they give birth, a day prior to the birth, that something will come out of their body prior to the Leda, some sort of pre-birth fluid. Vizu hol velotinfa itra laruba. But this animal, the previous day, nothing had come out, and therefore it's a reisa on the rove that it was a vlad ma'alia. So frankly, Gemara, wait. Ikola yoldos mitanfos hamid lo mitanfa b'char ma'aliyahu. If kola yoldos are mitanfos, so isn't that a rayu mukhrachas then, that this animal didn't really have a baby, that it was only Ruach Hipila? If you can say it's Kol, Ela'ema, Rov Yoldos Metanfos. V'zu Hol V'lotinfa, Itra L'Ruba. No, that's also only a Rov. But you have these two Rovs competing with each other. One, that Rov of normal births, there'll be Metanif in advance, and it didn't happen over here. And two, that Rov of the time, it's a normal birth. So you have those two competing factors, the two Rovs working against each other. So therefore, it's considered to be a Suffolk, and that's why the next offspring of that Behema is going to be a b'chor misafek, right? It has to be a b'chor misafek. Third challenge. Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar, Masa Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina asked on Rabbi Shimon Levi from a braisa of Toa, from a braisa of a woman who doesn't know when she gave birth, V'lo yadana ma'itiyufta. But I don't know what the big kasha was, because there's a simple answer to the kasha. So Maihi, what exactly are you talking about over here? What was the kasha of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina that you're criticizing, that you think there's such a simple answer to? Let's judge it for ourselves. So Titania, we have a braisa that tells us as follows. Isha shiyasasa maleya ubar reikanis. A woman had left and she was maleya when she left, and she came back reikanis, which means she was pregnant when she left. She came back no longer pregnant, but we have no idea when the pregnancy ended and what the pregnancy ended with, right? Well, what kind of baby it was. Vevia lefanenu shlosha shavu in tarin. And from the day she came home, she had 3 straight weeks where she didn't see any dam, and then after those 3 weeks of not seeing dam, va'asara shavuos echatame ve'echatahar. 10 straight weeks, where 1 week she saw dam every day, then the next week she didn't see dam at all. So it was l'serugin. She kept on taking turns, 1 week after the other one for 10 weeks. So the Gemara is going to discuss, later the Gemara will discuss why we chose such a weird case, that dafka these 13 weeks and dafka this way. But okay, so but let's just take it at face value right now. So halacha is mishameshes la'or shlosh mechamish. She's allowed to have tashmish with her husband on the night of the 35th day from the day she came back. And every other day of those 13 weeks, she's asura lebaila. Umat bilinosa, and she's going to have to go to the mikveh, tishim b'chamesh tvilos, 95 times. She's going to do lots of swimming over that those 13 weeks. Divrei Beis Shammai. That's Shitas Beis Shammai. Why? So Beis Shammai holds tevila b'zman mitzvah. Meaning you can't just wait till like, okay, the last possible time where the tumah could possibly end and then go to the mikveh then. He holds tevila b'zman mitzvah. So when there's a mitzvah, you have to, when there's a possibility that she's becoming Torah, that she has the ability to become Torah, she must go to the mikveh. So here also, we don't know when this mantara is coming for her to be tovel. So even though she's still going to be usher even after the tevila, we don't want to lose this mitzvah, this suffix mitzvah of tevila bezmana. The pasuk says by tamei meis v'chatu biyom hashvi v'kibes begadav v'rachatz. So we darshan that he have to be tovel biyom hashvi, which is the first possible time that he become that they can become tahar. So that's what we're assuming. That's the basis for tevilah b'zman mitzvah. Beis Hillel says no, shloshim v'chamesh. She's not going to need 95 tefilos, just 35 tefilos, and we'll see. The Gemara will explain why. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, wait till the last possible day when all the sfeikos are over, and then she'll go to the mikveh. Meaning that sheet is easy to understand. We also review the holds tefillah bezmana lav mitzvah, that there's no mitzvah to be tovel bezmana, which is what we paskin, by the way, bezmana zeh. If we held tefillah bezmana were mitzvah bezmana zeh, then first of all we wouldn't be able to keep all the chumras that we keep, right? The chumras derbi zeh, Rav Benos Shal Chmir Al Atzman, that we always keep shiv nekiyim. We'd have to be tovel bezmana for nidus, and also. So we would the mikveh would be open on Yom Kippur, would be open on Tisha B'Av. We hold tevila lebaila is a really, really good idea to do bezmana. But it's a mitzvah as far as puravu, as far as mitzvah sona, when the husband's around. Or, for example, if the husband were out of town, the woman would have to go to the mikveh when the husband's out of town if you held tevila bezmana mitzvah. We don't hold tevila bezmana mitzvah. But anyway, this is the three-way machlokas. So says Mara, let's go through these different weeks. So bishla mashvur rishon lamashameshes. I get why during the first week she's not going to have tashmish. Emer yoled zachari. It could be that in the previous week she just gave birth to a zachar. I mean, it could be 5 minutes before she showed up, she just gave birth to a zachar. So she has 1 week of yumei tuma. So shuvah sheni, and I understand why the second week she's not going to be able to have tashmish. Emer yoled znekevahi, because it could be that 5 minutes before she showed up, she gave birth to a nekeva, and the nekeva gets 2 weeks of yumei tuma. Shuvah shlishi, I even understand the third week why she's not going to be able to have tashmish. Emer yoled znekeva bezovhi. It could be that at the time that she gave birth to the nekeva, she was already a zava gedola, and therefore she requires shiva nekiyim after the 2 weeks of Yumei Tumah. She needs shiva nekiyim. So that's why she needs that third week where she's having shiva nekiyim and she's going to be aser. El shavua ravi'i, but that fourth week, why shouldn't she be allowed to have tashmish? Worst case scenario, she was a yoled zachar where her Yumei Tara ended at day 40, but in the fourth week, she's still well within those 40 days from the leida. So afagav de kochaz yadam, even though she sees dam during that fourth week, right? We said in that fourth week, she starts alternating weeks of seeing dam, but it's fine. She's allowed to see dam during Yumei Tohar. So tishamish, let her have tashmish to dam toru, the dam that she sees is dam tar. So lav mishum delo azin basaruba. Isn't it because we don't follow rov nashim that are mubaros or yoldos of lad, and therefore we're choshesh that maybe she was mapil or ruach and she's not a yoledus at all and she doesn't have yimei tara. So whatever dam she sees is actual dam nida, and that's why. So that's the kasha nu b'shub and levi. Right, b'shub and levi says if a pregnant woman gives birth, we know that it's a vlad ma'alia. No, maybe the reason she's also during the fourth week is because we think maybe it wasn't a vlad ma'alia. It may have been a ruach. So says Gemara, Elamai lo yadana mai tiyufta. Why is that such a bad kasha? It seems like a pretty good kasha on Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So the reason why we don't know mai tiyufta is Emer hirchika leidasa. No, the reason why she can't have tashmish during the fourth week is I don't know that she gave birth 5 minutes before she showed up. It could be that she gave birth days before she showed up, and the fourth week, or weeks before she showed up. And by the fourth week, her Yimei Tara are already over. So when she's seeing Dam during that fourth week, maybe it's after the Yimei Tara are already over. So it's nothing to do with maybe Ruach Hipila. No, I have to worry that this is real Dam, because maybe she's no longer during the Yimei Tara. So it's not necessarily against Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So Gemara explains why the Braisa doesn't allow her to have Tashmish in the subsequent weeks, right? Hashavua Chabishi, the fifth week, Titarhu, she's not seeing Dam, right? Because she's alternating at that point. Tishamish, why can't she have Tashmish Amita throughout the fifth week? Not only on the last day of the fifth week, which the Braisa said she can. Yes, it's true, she sees Dam every day of the fourth week, but the first time she sees Dam in the fourth week, it makes her a Nida. The halacha by a Nida is she could see Dam for a week straight. She's still only Tameh for that week. The Nidus ends at the end of that week. So shouldn't her Nidus have ended at the end of the fourth week? And therefore, shouldn't she have been Muteres the entire fifth week? So says Gemara, Hachshavu Revi, Kol Yom of Yom Misafkinu B'Sof Leid B'Tchilas Nida. No, the fourth week, we don't know when the Nidus started. Yes, she bled the entire fourth week, but every day of the fourth week may have been the dividing line between the end of the Yimei Tohar and the beginning of regular Nidus. So it could be day 40 of Yimei Tohar was on the sixth day of the fourth week, and it's only on the seventh day that Yimei Nidus are going to start, and therefore she's going to be tummy for the whole week. Vesem it's Manu Gufei, and it turns out that on the 28th day itself, which is the end of the fourth week, Emer Tchilas Nidahi, maybe that was the beginning of the Nidus. So she needs a full week of Nidus. And because of that, we asser her B'tashmish Amita for the first 6 days of the fifth week. And it's only on the seventh night of the fifth week that she's going to be Muteres. So says Gemara, okay, but Be'esem V'chad Tashamish, on the 21st day when she comes back, she should be Muteres B'tashmish Amita. Because what's the whole reason that she was asser that third week? She wasn't seeing any Dam. We're choshish that she was Yoledes Nikeva Bizov. And what happens when Yoledes Nikeva Bizov? So 2 weeks of Tumah and 1 week of Shiva Nikim. Well, what happens at the end of a week of Shiva Nikim? The Tevila could be Biyom. Tevila for a Zava Gadola could be during the day. So she could be Tahora. So why can't she have Tashmish on the day of the 21st? Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Asolasos came, Shema Tavali De Savik. Now we're assuming like Rabbi Shimon that you're not allowed to do that. Meaning, Enochinami, if she went to the mikvah on day 21, she would be Tahora, but you're not allowed to do, and she would therefore be allowed to have Tashmish, but we don't allow it because if she sees Dam later on that day, it will be so ser the Shiva Nikiyim l'mafreya, right? That's why meaning the halach is, it's unusual. Normally, if a woman goes to the mikveh and is then with her husband and then bleeds an hour later, so it's fine. I mean, it's unpleasant, but it's fine. She bleeds an hour later, she's tamei mikanu lahaba. Nothing was wrong with the tashmish. But when it comes to a zava gadola during the Shiva Nikiyim, she's allowed to go to the mikvah on the seventh day, but if she bleeds subsequently on that seventh day, it's still during the Shiva Nikiyim, it will be metami or lemafreya. So it's very, very risky behavior to go to the mikvah on the seventh day, be with the husband, and then just hope you don't see any dam the rest of the day. So Rabbi Shimon doesn't allow that. So that's why we're not allowing this woman to be mishamish on day 21. That's why we're still choshet. I mean, this is still no gael lemaisa. This we don't allow women to go to the mikvah during the day. We don't even allow women to go to the mikvah on the eighth day, because we're choshish mishum srach bita, that our daughter will be confused. We'll remember that mommy used to come back with no makeup and wet hair and whatever during the daytime, and the daughter's going to think that she's allowed to go during the daytime. But b'shas chak, every once in a while, Poskim will be mekel on the eighth day, and sometimes Rav Moshe has a tshuva, and in some rare circumstances, we'll even allow a woman to go to the mikvah on the seventh day. But Rav Moshe writes, only if She doesn't see her husband until after the seventh day is over. Why? Why are we so nervous she can't see her husband? Because of this. If she's going to be with her husband on the seventh day and then see Dam later that day, it will turn out that she's Tamei L'Mafreya. You get these shilas come up every once in a while. I got when Hurricane Sandy hit, this shila came up. The Oceanside Mikvah was destroyed in Hurricane Sandy. So women who had Lel Tevila on Friday night, so what are they going to do? Close to Mikvah was in Woodmere. It's not really walking distance from Oceanside. So Rabbi Muscat, I think at the time, called Rabbi Sablovsky, and he was making like Ramesha that she can go during the day in the Woodmere Mikvah, provided that she doesn't see her husband till nightfall. So the husband will go to shul early, and when she came home, the husband was ready at shul. By the time the husband came to shul, came home from shul, it was ready nightfall. But that's you know, in the Shas at Chak. But it's all because of this, because we're afraid that if she sees later, it's going to be a problem. So it says, okay, l'urtit shamesh. So she could still, the night after day 21, she could have tashva shamita, because then her shivin akiyam are ready over. So says Gemara, kisharasa be'erev. No, but the case is, as soon as week 4 hits, she starts seeing dam, and that didn't start the next day. That starts already at night. And that's why, that's what we're assuming, and that's why she can't have tashmish at that time. Okay, we'll stop there, and Bez Hashem will continue this analysis of this unusual case tomorrow. Oh,